I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, New York sports fans. I'm Danielle McCartan, McCartan After Midnight. And I'll be talking all things New York sports with you till 6 a.m. on this early Sunday morning or late Saturday night if you are still out and about in that city that never sleeps. Or maybe you're just working on a weekend like usual. Me and Kevin are too. And we are coming to you live from the Carton and Roberts studio here in Lower Manhattan. You guys know the number, 877-337-6666. Let's get aboard and let's load them up with your best content only, please. And thank you in advance. You guys know that the MLB trade deadline has come and gone. The essential question being, did our New York Yankees and our New York Mets get better? Did they become good enough to make a run into the late fall? Will either of the two of those two teams be the last team standing? Those are the essential questions that we'll weave in throughout the course of the show tonight and early this Sunday morning. And helping us try to answer some of those will be a special guest, the John Morosi, all-star contributor to the MLB Network. So stay tuned for that as we evaluate both the Yankees and the Mets' 2021 trade deadline moves. By the way, Morosi will join us, as most guests usually do, at 4:40 a.m. Oh, if you're a fan of The Hills, especially the new one, you definitely know this song. Natasha Bedingfield, Unwritten, the new remix. The Yankees and the Mets have had their pens yanked away by the trade deadline as they did their best to write their books for the remainder of this season. However, with the hard deadline, the rest is still yet unwritten. I think by now, you guys all know what my, I'm doing air quotes here, day job is, but if you don't, I'm a teacher, an Italian teacher, and why I say that is I'm going to be assigning trade deadline grades for both our Yankees and our Mets. So let's do it. We are the Yankees Radio Network. We'll start there. Last week here on this show, we established that the Yankees had two needs, starting pitching and a lefty bat. I pointed often leading up to the deadline to what Tony Kemp did at Yankee Stadium. Tony Kemp from the A's, the lefty batter from the A's, what he did at Yankee Stadium. And let me refresh your memories in case you missed it. Don't go looking it up. There was a three-game series. He, who is not considered a power hitter, hit two home runs, drove in four RBIs, had a .250 batting average, a .400 on base, you see where I'm going here, and a .1,000 slugging percentage. So, how did the Yankees do? What grade will Professor Essa McCartan assign to the Yankees? Well, the Yankees are a curious case in which really I would actually want to work off of two rubrics. The team philosophy that I and many of you think that the Yankees should employ versus the rubric of the team philosophy that the Yankees are currently employing. Spoiler alert, they are not the same. Whereas I prefer a much more athletic team built upon getting on base and hitting situationally. This Yankees front office and this Yankees computer algorithm clearly does not. Whereas I prefer my starting pitchers to pitch longer than four or five innings, this Yankees front office and this Yankees computer algorithm clearly does not. In fact, the New York Yankees front office is putting their cashman where their mouth is, doubling down on the same strategy that has them seven games back in the AL East and 2.5 games back in the wild card after Saturday night's games. But hey, what do I know? For the Yankees, graded on what my idea of what the team should evolve to be rubric, I give them a D. Number one, they did not address a top end of the rotation pitcher. Who knows what Luis Severino will be when he comes back in when? Late August, beginning of September? For sure, he'll have to be stretched out after that. And what will Corey Kluber look like when he returns? Also in late August or the beginning of September. And he, too, will have to be stretched out. Andrew Heaney from the Angels and his 5.27 ERA and 39% quality starts percentage is hardly what the Yankees needed. And number two, they traded for Joey Gallo, who fits right in with their three outcome lineup: home run, strikeout, or walk. In fact, when you look at the highest strikeout percentages among all batters, I chose with 100 plate appearances. I thought that was kind of fair. You'll find a guy named Taylor Trammell from the Mariners at the top of the list, strikeout rate of 42%. You don't have to scroll much farther down to find the name Gallo, Joey. His 32.3% strikeout percentage is tied for 35th highest in the league of all the players in the league with 100 at-bats. I compared that to the Yankees lineup. Of course, it's higher than that of Judge, higher than that of Stanton, and higher than that of Sanchez. On my rubric, the only reason why I did not assign an F is because Cashman got the sending teams to take on the remaining money on most, I think, if not all, of the contracts. That was pretty nifty. On my second rubric for the New York Yankees, though, the one that aligns with the Yankees' philosophy, the grade is an A-. There's still a deduction because they did not address the rotation adequately enough for my liking, but if we're playing along with the Yankees' thought process, they desperately needed to add a left-handed power bat. In fact, they got two. And Brian Cashman, like I just said, got both the Rangers and the Cubs to take on the remaining 2021 salary for both of those players, Rizzo and Gallo. Yankee Stadium is the fifth best home run hitting park for lefty batters. The dimensions of the field increase lefty home runs by 17%. So let's look really in depth at the big splashes. First, Joey Gallo. If you can look beyond the strikeout rate and the batting average hovers around 220, there's a lot to like about Joey Gallo. First, he's arbitration eligible through the end of next season, which is good for a team that does not want to exceed the luxury tax threshold. But beyond that, deeper than that, he's a defensive upgrade. He's coming off a 2020 season where he won a gold glove in right field, and he has the sixth best outfield arm in all of baseball. He has played center field before. He can fill in at first base. He can fill in at third base in a pinch. Since the start of last season, Joey Gallo has got the most defensive runs saved, 27, among all outfielders. His defense is an underrated part of his game that not enough people are talking about. Also, Gallo sees 4.2 pitches per plate appearance. That's good for ninth best in the American League. As you know, as we've talked about, the Yankees have the most grounded into double plays in all of baseball. Joey Gallo has only hit into 9 double plays in his career, which is why I totally disagree with hitting him second in the batting order, but that's another conversation. File all of this under things that don't exactly fit into a box score, but things that do go in a box score. Gallo has the most left-handed home runs since 2017, but he's also 70th in most left-handed doubles and triples. At the time of the trade, he had 25 home runs. StatCast says that 17 of them would have been out in every single park across the league, the no-doubter home runs. But if all of those games are played at Yankee Stadium, which I know isn't totally possible because there need to be road games, Gallo would have 29 home runs. From left field and center field prior to the deadline, The Yankees on base percentage was just under 300, and they've gotten only 20 home runs from those positions so far. Gallo alone brings 25 home runs and a 379 on base percentage. Instant upgrade, again, if you can get past the strikeout percentage. On joining the Yankees, Gallo said, growing up being a Yankees fan, it's something that I've always dreamed of. And the second big splash, Anthony Rizzo. Last week, I also warned Yankee fans that Joey Gallo is not, I'm doing air quotes again, the answer. It's true. He himself is not, which is why I was reluctant about Gallo coming to New York. But in a move that surprised even the player himself, the Yankees and Brian Cashman also made a deal with the Cubs for Anthony Rizzo. He, in my opinion, is the diamond, is the five-star, whatever you want to call it, addition at the deadline. What I like most about Anthony Rizzo is this. He's got a legitimate two-strike approach. I mean, he chokes up. You've already seen it on TV. As a result, you can imagine that he is not a strikeout guy. Actually, he only strikes out 15.5% of the time, which is tied for 419th in baseball. Actually, Rizzo has almost double the number of batted balls in play than Gallo. Furthermore, he will be going from a park that is below average for lefty home runs in Wrigley Field to a park that is quite literally built for him. Upon the time of the trade, Rizzo had 14 home runs. If all of his hits are at Yankee Stadium, which again, I know is not totally possible, he would have had 23 home runs headed to the deadline. Oh, did I mention his four gold gloves? What about his platinum glove? Yep, excellent. And Luke Voit, who? The Yankees have established lefty-righty balance in their lineup for the first time all season. That will not only be beneficial to the lefties, as I've just outlined, but also to the righties, because pitchers will no longer be able to get into a groove by pitching to so many consecutive right-handed batters. It's a real thing. Again, while I don't agree with the philosophy that the Yankees and Brian Cashman have employed, they did lock up two of the most compelling position players on the trade market. The average slugging percentage in the league for against the fastball, 445. Gallo, Stanton, and Judge combined at the time of the trade combined for a 647 slugging percentage against the fastball. Huh. Well above league average, shall we say. Is it an exciting time in the Bronx? Very. Will Monday's game at the stadium be sold out? Probably. But that jolt, two Italian dudes with connections to our area, will that be the shock that the mostly stagnant 2021 Yankees need to kick it into high gear? Man, I do hope so. The Yankees certainly have their work cut out for them. Will they win the division? Probably not. Will they be a wild card team? Well, that's it. Get into the dance and then see what happens, because virtually the entire AL East were buyers at the deadline, with the Blue Jays landing, most notably Jose Berríos and Brad Hand, the Rays trading for Nelson Cruz, and the Red Sox, most notable addition, was Kyle Schwarber. According to FanDuel on Saturday afternoon, the Red Sox will have the best odds to win the AL East, followed closely by the Rays. The Yankees are all alone in a distant third at plus 1,000. The Orioles, by the way, yes, I had to count the zeros, are currently at plus 50,000. Maybe you want to put some money on that. Put a dollar on them. How about that? Based on the odds, this is the second tightest race in all of baseball. And for the Mets, let's open with a quote from Sandy Alderson. He said, you know, this is before I assign my grades. Alderson said, quote, "If we had weaknesses in the first 100 games, it was inconsistent starting pitching just because there were holes to fill every 3 or 4 days. And the second was the offense against left-handed pitching. We certainly addressed one of those with Baez," obviously the second one. "With respect to the pitching holes we had, we've got Carrasco pitching, we've got Rich Hill, and while that might not be Jacob deGrom or Jose Berríos, we're comfortable with what we currently have as we move into these last 60 games. What grade will Professor S.M. McCartan assign to the New York Mets? Well, let's first backtrack to last week and revisit my wish list for them. Number one was Chris Bryant, and number two was a solid yet inexpensive, in terms of prospect talent, starting pitcher. My grade for the Mets, a B. I know they had acquired Rich Hill, which is good. He's a great fit. But he's not a high-end or a mid-grade starting pitcher. The Mets did not adequately address their need for starting pitching, especially that acting GM Zach Scott knew about the severity of Jacob deGrom's setback, and he said it in his own words, hours before the deadline. Add that to the fact that they picked the wrong Cub, and that's why it's a B. Baez is a fine enough player, but Bryant was the guy. He was the missing piece. And across the nine offensive metrics that I ran on my own, Bryant is a better player by a lot. So a better player and a better fit, and yet the Mets allowed him to go elsewhere. So again, the starting pitching, you know, the severity of the DeGrom injury setback, they knew. The Mets knew. And I took notes during that SNY broadcast when Zach Scott said, we knew with a couple hours to go at the deadline what the plan was for him. At that point, we did not see any of the top rotation guys that really fit for us. Scherzer was already traded. Toronto already acquired Berríos. And we felt like the impact just wasn't there. That was Zach Scott. Well, Zach Scott, I actually disagree with you. Three of my top-ranked starting pitchers on the market were still on the board. And actually, they ended up staying put. Germán Márquez from the Rockies, John Gray from the Rockies, and John Means from the lowly Orioles. So to that, for the right package, I call BS. Plus, another reason for the B was the fact that the Mets took Javier Baez before the Giants took Chris Bryant. Bryant was the guy. He was the missing piece. And the acquisition of Baez just really confuses me as to where he fits. Because you could say, well, okay, he's the bridge to Lindor. Okay, sure. For what? The next 2 weeks? Then what? He slides to second base and benches McNeil, whose 16-game hitting streak just ended Saturday night? Or will he just displace McNeil, thus benching J.D. Davis's bat at third base or Dom Smith's bat in left field? To me, that move, the Baez move, represents a GM without a concrete plan. Javier Baez is a great player, don't get me wrong. If it's a straight comparison between him and Jeff McNeil at second base, I'm picking Baez, really. And I studied eight offensive metrics between him and McNeil, and Baez is better than McNeil in most of them. Of course, the big knock on Baez is his strikeout percentage. It is the 10th highest in the league among batters with at least 100 plate appearances. 10th highest. Otherwise, and that's a really big otherwise, there's a lot to like about him and what he could bring to this team. But do you see how confusing this is when there's not a real plan in place? Bryant was the guy. You wanted a big bat. He has more home runs than Davis, Guillerme, and VR combined. He gives great flexibility at the corner infield positions and all three outfield positions, that is Chris Bryant. And I imagine he would have gotten most reps at third base, where he has a fielding percentage that is also better than any of the third basemen that played for the Mets so far this season. This really was a no-brainer. And wait, my favorite line from the Alderson conference was, or interview, whatever it was that Baez addressed the offensive woes against left-handed pitching. Well, guess who has a better average against left-handed pitching? Yep. Don't be fooled by the narrative. The answer is Chris Bryant, who hits in his career 13 points higher than Baez against left-handed pitching. I'm just saying. So how does Baez stack up against Chris Bryant in the rest of the metrics? Let's do it. I ran the numbers. In addition to a higher batting average against left-handed pitching, Chris Bryant has a higher batting average, a much better slugging percentage, a much higher on-base percentage, and a much better on-base plus slugging percentage. Baez barely steals more bases per game than him, and that's really it. But the Mets did not select Bryant, who, by the way, was traded to the Giants for just their number 7 and their number 17 prospects. The Mets couldn't do that. They selected Baez instead. Wrong move. Sorry. The NL East, based on the oddsmakers' predictions, looked to be the third closest divisional race. The Mets are still favored to win it, followed closely by the Braves and the Phillies. And Mike Piazza on the SNY broadcast, when they interviewed him the other night, he said, hey, someone's going to win this thing. Why not you guys? Just keep playing hard. Take it to the end. Hang in there. You guys are just getting through a lot of tough times and stick it out. So, what's the big picture? So how do both of our teams fare in the terms of the big autumn picture? Will they be fighting to the end? Will they become the champions? Well, since we've last talked, Fangraphs calculator shows that the Yankees have jumped in the postseason projection. After Saturday night's game, they now have a 51.5% chance of making the postseason. It was just 36% last week. And they've got a 6.3% chance to win the World Series, which is just about or even more than double what it was this exact time last week. And after Saturday night's game, the Mets, according to Fangraphs, have a 73% chance to make the postseason, down about 4% from last week, and a 7.3% chance to win the World Series. According to MLB.com, if the season ended after Saturday's games, the Yankees would miss the second wild card spot by 2.5 games, and the Mets would still win the NL East. So, we will get it going. I've set the table for you guys. I cannot wait to talk with you. 877-337-6666. I'm Danielle McCartan, after midnight, on The Fan in New York City.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.